Episode 159 of the TV Dudes podcast, recorded November 21st, 2017. Future Man. Les, thank you so much for joining me this week over Skype.
Yes, because we are in the future.
We're in the future. We're using technology to talk here.
Yes.
And it's Thanksgiving week, so schedules have been a little bit difficult to manage. I ended up showing up here to record with Randy and Kyle, and all of our schedules got screwed up, so it was just me. Reached out to Les, and Les was like, I can do Skype real quick.
Yep.
So we're going to have a little bit of a truncated episode this week. We were going to talk about Future Man and Punisher, but I think we're just going to condense it down to focusing solely on Future Man.
Yes, because I actually have not watched Punisher. Instead, I watched Future Man twice.
Yeah, I did not watch Punisher either. So we can see where our priorities are there. But we are going to just jump right into it. I want to say really quickly, of course, you guys know that you can support us over on patreon.com/TVDudes if you so choose, also in iTunes. And we want to give a shout out to the Permanent Record newest podcast.
Permanent Record.
Nice. The Good Die Young. And now that we actually have you on here, Les, I wanted to say,
yes.
How's it going? Please talk about this new podcast.
It's going great. I'm really excited about it. So far, we've put out two episodes. This is my podcast that's going to go just into one season, like one and done, cancel too soon shows. And the first one I chose was The Middleman, which anybody who's heard me talk about sci-fi stuff has heard me obsess about this before.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a great one season, Jim. I dragged you into the first episode. Randy's on one. So far, we've got two episodes out and one interview. My interview with Javier Grillo-Marxwatch, the creator, is online. And this week, we'll actually, I think, have the Natalie Morales interview up. So,
Nice.
It's going great. It's going to be a new episode every Monday, new interview every Thursday. It's going to take, I guess, 13 weeks or so. And then we'll take a break and then move into season two with whatever show's next.
What show could it be? Yeah,
I don't know. There's been so few things that have been. Oh wait, no. Everything I Love has been canceled in one season. So just nearly.
Yeah, I understand, but you know, it's really fun listening to this podcast and seeing the reaction from fans of The Middleman in particular, who are like, "Yes, finally!"
A lot of all caps reactions. Really, I mean, like a lot of positive all caps reactions. I'm enjoying it. There's a whole lot of like, smash button.
Exactly. Yeah. The fervent fan base for The Middleman. That's exciting to see.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yeah. And so that's the GoodDieYoungTV.com.
Yes. GoodDieYoungTV.com. You can also subscribe. It is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Go there, subscribe, give it a little review, and, you know, tell your friends about it. Share the love. All right, let's jump over to some quick listener questions. I think we only got a couple once again because we're recording early this week on Tuesday. It's Turkey Week, so we understand that people are getting ready, traveling a lot. Zach McLernan asks, the next 2 years will see the end of the television era defining shows such as The Americans, Game of Thrones, Archer, Veep, and possibly even It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And You're the Worst, as honorable mention. 2015 saw the end of Key and Peele, Hannibal, Mad Men, Parks and Rec, Community, Justified, and Glee, if you're into that sort of thing. And 2013 was the end of Breaking Bad. With the seeming end of a TV era coming up, what shows, current and upcoming, do you feel will come to define the next few years of television? Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not where I thought this question was going to go. Because I was sitting here thinking, like, I don't know. Stuff's always ending. I mean, Person of Interest ended, and then, and I felt that loss in my schedule, and then other stuff arcs up. But no, I don't always know if you can see the things that are going to have their really defining sweet spot, because like some of those shows ran a season or two longer than they should have. Like I was surprised when Glee actually ended, because I really thought Glee ended a few years prior to that.
Community was similar, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I adore Community and have watched all of the episodes, but yeah, Community could have stopped.
It was fraught with problems.
But, some of those shows run longer than they're... The reason they're defined, like, the reason that they are whatever genre defining is not necessarily all seven seasons. It's like a middle three.
Yeah, but, I mean, you could argue that, like, there was initially the Sopranos era that, like, gave birth to HBO has always been prestige TV, but giving birth to the AMC dynasty with the runs of Mad Men and Breaking Bad, like those were kind of the new golden era.
Yeah, and with The Shield and stuff like that stepping out, and then everything kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, so that now basic cable looks like HBO, and then HBO did Game of Thrones.
Yeah, and you know, I think you can always kind of cycle back to HBO and look at what they're doing currently. Westworld still seems like it's gearing up to be a pretty riveting drama. I don't know if it'll have the same pull that Game of Thrones currently does, but it's still pretty brilliant.
Like, I think Westworld's definitely in that list, but it may fall more like Hannibal. Like, I don't know that it's going to...
It could lose people.
Or maybe even more niche than that.
It's so cerebral,
And I don't know... I mean, I realize that Westworld's not a miniseries that's just going to be cut short, you know, that's just going to wrap, but it... I don't know Westworld can run 10 years, you know, like I don't know that Westworld can run like a 5 or 6 year huge chunk. Maybe it will. I mean, by virtue of only releasing 10 episodes every 2 years, maybe it will.
Stranger Things definitely is one of the current genre defining shows. And it seems like we're talking about Future Man today. That one certainly borrows a lot from what was paved by Stranger Things, or at least, like, you know, like these throwbacks really work and people want that.
If you can do it smart, that this throwback can work, because Stranger Things is both it's a throwback to so much stuff at once that it kind of starts to work, and I felt that about Future Man as well. I don't know. It was so weird out of that list of the shows that are ending, like Americans and stuff, like that I've not watched. There's so much prestige television just kind of sitting out there, in the same sense that when DVDRs came about, we all kind of lost our track of, like, I don't know when the hell these things actually air. Like, I don't know if things come on Tuesday nights at 8. I know things come on whenever I have time to watch them.
Exactly.
And, you know, I can watch The Gift at any time after this calendar day of the week, you know? But I don't know when it actually airs or where. And I kind of am getting that way about, like, whole shows I'm noticing of, like, oh yeah, I forgot I put Americans on my list of stuff to watch. How many years did it run? Wow.
It's
all,
like,
of that is on the shelf ready to go.
Is Game of Thrones the last water cooler show, like, to discuss week by week? I mean, I'm a little bit biased, but I feel like Star Trek Discovery is one of those shows currently. But I also know it has a huge hang up in the roadblock that is CBS All Access. Like, people can't get on and watch it or aren't eager to.
On that one, I had a hard time telling whether I was getting a fair approximation of its popularity or not, because I was hearing everybody discuss it, but I'm in a bubble of Trek nerds who are ready for that show.
Exactly.
And also have, like, you and Mike and some of the, you know, that are on, and Ashley, that are on the Star Trek podcast.
Yeah.
So I definitely felt like I was in a maybe more Trek discussion, but yeah, that was a water cooler show. And I feel like there are, I don't know, it's going to be fun to see what shows do become the ones that you make time to watch all on the same night, because really that's all that's about anymore, is like, when are we all agreeing to watch this so we can talk about it tomorrow?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's other shows that are just kind of outside of my, like you said, bubble as well. Like, I don't know the Revenge, Scandal, Empire crowd that might still be like, oh, you gotta be discussing that, or like the 100, or
can't name a single character on This Is Us, but I understand it is a show.
Yeah, right. So it's like, these ones have their fervent fan base, but when someone lists off prestige shows, they're not going to be on my list. So it's all kind of personal preference here as well.
Yeah. Interesting question. I have no good answer on that one. I cannot wait to find out.
Yeah, we'll see. Kyle Volte asks, hey, TV dudes, with the threats to net neutrality and the growing number of streaming platforms, what do you think the future of going cable free is for people?
I have no idea. I genuinely feel like that idiot is going to end net neutrality while we're eating turkey, or December 17th, I think, might be when the next vote is.
I think they're going to try and do it. I think that piracy will go on the rise. I think that, and that it'll be hard to control certain elements. I don't know if
we're going to end up with an entirely like secondary hack underground internet. Like, that seems like my worst case scenario for how bad this might get, because like, I feel like, I'm old enough to, and I know you are too, to remember like the early ads for AOL.
Yeah.
When the pricing just looked fucking crazy, like, oh yeah, no, whose parents are getting that? Because that's nuts. Nobody's paying for that shit.
There's no reason to trust them to be decent about this.
with like a $4,000 cell phone, you know, that you can buy, and I feel like we're going to move back to pricing tiers like that. Like my worst case scenario for no net neutrality is just terrible. The best I saw it described today was like, let's put it in terms you can get excited about. They're going to decide which porn they prefer you watch, and then they're going to control the speed of that porn.
Like,
let's just rephrase all of this in terms of porn, gentlemen, so that you'll understand like how nefarious this could get if they cut out, or if they do this to the web.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of people going cable free, I still feel like that's an inevitability just for the market. I think any of the distributors being able to move away from cable and have an always available streaming show that they can get ad revenue and people can choose a la carte to watch whatever they want, and you can still make that ad money.
Yeah,
it's going to be a lucrative idea as long as they are still smart about how they are working with advertisers.
I feel like they're two separate issues going on. Like the net neutrality thing, I feel like is probably going to affect cord cutting and all of that. But right now, I mean, I say I'm cable free, but I'm paying a cable company.
Yeah.
I'm just paying them for only their internet product and not their internet plus their cable product, which they do like an add-on. Eventually, if they can get the right iteration of rules or restrictions or whatever the hell is stopping them from reconfiguring these packages a little bit different, at some point they'll be selling me those a la carte packages off their device. The middlemen on these things are not to refer to my other show.
I see what you're
It's just going to constantly rearrange. And Cox Cablevision or Time Warner or Spectrum or whatever they change their name to have proven themselves like absolutely amazingly adept at keeping themselves in the middle of a process that they don't need to be in the center of.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason that NBC can't just sell me shows. Like, I could go to NBC.com and pick and choose from the full NBC lineup and say, that is my NBC, and they could sell me my NBC for $5.99 a month, and I'd probably do that shit.
Jeez. I mean, that's so sad.
And I feel like that's probably where we're going to, but instead I'm going to get $6.99 a month because I'm going to pay Cox Cablevision, Time Spectrum, a buck in there somewhere.
Yeah, they're all just going to merge too.
Yeah. I mean, there's just no reason. I still don't see a reason why I'm not. A la carting like that is going to be expensive, and it's going to be probably, I can see the future where this adds up to be more expensive than just paying cable, at which point I'll just go with the cheaper scam. But I still don't see why I can't just pay the content creators. I don't see why I'm not just paying, the Bloodstone Group for designing women back in the day, you know, or I just don't have a more recent example I can think of off the top of my head, but some production company that, you know, I don't know why I don't just pay Bad Robot.
Yeah, you know, I think about like how everyone was saying it was going to be such doom and gloom for the creative community that things were moving away from cable companies and that that piracy's on the rise and you weren't going to have all that great original programming that you love. And now we're flooded with it and piracy's where it's always been. It's available. Yeah. People still do it from time to time. And we're like every network is doing great original programming now. So it's like that was not the problem.
There was an interview with one of the guys from Pirate Bay right after one of the first few times they got arrested, where he said, "And I don't understand why these guys in suits are this angry at me. I fixed your distribution method. Say thank you."
Yeah, really?
Like, you guys all have MBAs and you can't figure out how to monetize it. All I did was solve your tech distribution problem.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, man. Granted, you were still going to court, but you have a fair point. How the hell is a room full of guys in suits with MBAs cannot figure out how to monetize this and sell it to their clients? That's not your problem. All you did was go, look, man, there's a way for you to hand your product straight to the end user.
They're so right, man. I don't know what's going to go on with this net neutrality thing.
Yeah, I don't either. I've seen the current FCC guy speak on YouTube, though, and oh man, that John Oliver thing is horrible. Both of them.
Yeah, call your senator guys and hope they somehow listen to you. I don't know.
The thing I saw on Twitter the other day, I'm really tired of this Black Mirror episode where I have to call Congress every 3 days or they end my life.
No joke. All right, last question. Comes to us from Paul Mampilli, and this is much needed after that last sad note. He says, "Happy Thanksgiving, TV dudes. What are you guys thankful for in TV, and what aren't you thankful for?" So I'm sure that last question actually answered some things that we're not thankful for.
Yeah.
Thankful
I'm not
for...
thankful for. Go for it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to ask you, what are you thankful for and not?
Well, I'm not thankful for the mechanics behind television that make it a pain in the ass and for the times that it reminds me of doom and gloom in the world. But I am super thankful for the purging of Jackass executive director or executive producers and writers and this culling of space of talent hack leeches. I realize that is like a bad news cycle thing.
Dangerous predators going on right now?
I honestly, I'm thrilled. I just got done watching Supergirl, and I sat through that entire episode a little sad that I can't look at Mon-El without going, oh, you're a stand-in character for a shithole. But that shithole's fired. Pretty sure.
I didn't hear about that one.
And I don't want to say his name because I'm blanking on his last name right now, and I don't want to misname somebody in a story like that. But one of the executive producers behind all of the CWDC shows. It was a slimeball. But along with huge swath of all industries, but the entertainment industry, Cole, I'm really enjoying right now. I've seen some people freak out of like, but what about all the stuff we won't get out of these guys? And like, yeah, but all these jobs that are now available for people who
aren't shitty.
Who aren't shitty. And I am honestly as sad as I might get about stuff like the net neutrality future, I am so excited about what might come out of the writing and the talent. There was already such a great wave going with like Queen Sugar and Wonder Woman and going into like Wrinkle in Time and Ava DuVernay's movies and stuff like that. But I really think we're on the threshold of something cool.
See,
and I'm stoked about it.
You brought up a good point there. Like there's this like bullshit argument that gets brought up of like, but aren't you going to be sad about missing like all of the great like creative stuff that came from these terrible predators, named the Louis C.K.'s or the Roman Polanski's or the Weinstein or whoever you want to name. But think of all the other amazing creative talent that they bullied and harassed and stifled that creativity from those people. That's what you got to focus on.
There's at least three or four Robin Williams or you know, just really, really talented people who dropped out of their entire fucking field.
Yeah.
And if that's not going to happen, it's just going to be cool. It'll be different. I'd like to not predict the ends of shows. I'd like to be surprised. And so I'd like all the writers to not be of my background and upbringing. It was the thing I saw the other day. Can I quit having movies about systemic oppression written by guys who learned about systemic oppression from X-Men comics?
Yeah.
Like, fuck, that's me. That's true. Stop it.
And you know, like the point I was making earlier about with the change in the dynamic of delivering TV, we have not seen a suffering in the quality of programming we've been delivered. In fact, it keeps getting better and better because more and more voices are being able to be heard and sourced for more
talent.
Yeah,
how are we both in a golden age of peak television and have more women involved than ever? Like,
It's getting better.
If women were not funny and terrible, then wouldn't we be like suffering through some kind of like be nice about it, but television's horrible? Like, television's the greatest I've ever fucking seen. Yeah, this is going fine. So I'm super excited about that. On an individual level, I'm so happy with so many of the series that are coming out. I was so excited about Future Man. I loved Stranger Things too. So it's not just Netflix original series anymore, though I'm excited because like Amazon's proven themselves adept. Hulu has proven themselves more adept at original series than I would have ever thought at this point a year ago. You know, they've done Handmaid's Tale now. They've done I enjoyed Chance.
This Future Man we're about to talk about.
Man, I enjoyed the shit out of Future Man. But not just that, there's all sorts of distribution channels, and there's so much TV coming out, and I can get to almost all of it. It's freaking great.
You know what? I'm with you. I'm thankful for that. And let's take a quick break so we can come back and talk about Future Man, because I'm really excited about it. Guys, so this week we saw The Punisher finally come out on Netflix, but another show popped up over on Hulu, and the fact that this has caught the attention, I think, of pretty much all of the TV dudes over top of Punisher. I know Randy and Kyle were also talking about their love of this, and I was not hearing much praise about Punisher.
I just haven't watched Punisher. It just came out at the wrong moment for me. I was not a Punisher comic book fan, and really the show just hit at the wrong news cycle moment for me. I just can't do it.
Exactly. So I feel like we've made the right call here. But that is Future Man over on Hulu just popped up. And the plot is that Josh Futterman, who's played by Josh Hutcherson, is a janitor by day, gamer by night, and after he's...
Oh, games by break time, gamer by... literally any waking moment. He's got nothing but his literally shitty job
and
this game.
He's playing some game that's like in the dystopian future. He's this guy called Future Man, which is a playoff of his Futterman last name, where he basically saves humanity from these evil corporate mutants. And
it has to be said, like, this game is overcranked. I mean, it's a first-person shooter, and you're just running around, but, like, the shit they yell is so over-the-top great. There's a lot – I mean, it's Seth Rogen directing. There's a lot of, like, crotch
really?
Shot. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, this is Rogen. This is actually the Rogen and – I can't remember his partner's name same guys behind – I sat through the
Evan
entire
Goldberg.
First episode of this. Yeah, Evan Goldberg. I sat through the whole first episode of Future Man going, this is so much more fun than Preacher. Did you just have too much reverence for the comic of Preacher? Like, why the fuck is this so much more fun?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it's Rogen. So there's a lot of gunshots to the crotch, and there's I'm sure that's why herpes and some weird dick jokes feature in. But
it basically becomes the Last Starfighter, where people from the future come back and be like, oh, you've beat the game. You are the chosen one to save us from...
Because nobody's ever beat this game.
Yeah.
Like, I love his argument for why it's Paul Scheer and and Awkwafina are the two workers in his local, in Futterman's local video game store.
Because
he breaks his joystick and has to go get a new joystick at the start of the episode, first episode. But I love his argument for, like, why would I play a game everybody's beat? Like, that's not special. So it's literally no one's ever beaten this game. But yeah, there's... I loved this show. I couldn't believe how much fun it was. The first episode was cute. I enjoyed it. I like time travel crap enough that I kind of enjoyed that they didn't pop in from space Last Starfighter style. They popped in from the future.
Yeah.
And I love how, better than most things, they play it up to great effect how out of touch they are. Like, their shithole sewer future is amazing.
It's like every joke that they have is so crass and terrible that I just laugh at, like, the miserableness of, like, that they call mouths rat holes.
What else would you call the hole you shove rats into? Like, you went rat hole to rat hole with them? And they are so earnest and serious about how bad their lives are, like, how bad their future is, that, like, you can't laugh. Like, you're laughing because they're so serious about it. Wherever they found the actor that plays Wolf.
Oh, he was from Preacher.
Is he also in? Yeah. Oh shit. He's who gets,
he's the dumb husband guy who dresses all Confederate. He's abusive.
Yep, you're right.
He is so great as Wolf.
Oh man, he is spectacular.
Him and Eliza Coop as Tiger.
Yeah, she's great. I loved her from Happy Endings. Like, I knew she would have the timing and have the comedy chops to get this, but he surprised the crap out of me. His journey through the show is my favorite thing. I kind of inadvertently ended up seeing almost the whole thing twice.
Yeah,
I watched it, but I was cleaning house and doing a bunch of other stuff, so I missed. I mean, binging what 13 episodes, I missed some stuff here or there. So then I was immediately telling my wife about it, like, you have to watch this fucked up show. It's about a janitor loser who gets time traveled. Well, there's soldiers from the future. Anyway, a herpes cure ends humanity.
just trust me. Just watch it.
Just trust me. Watch an episode of it. And yeah, we got done with episode one, and she was like, I kind of want to watch more of these. Is that all right? And so I ended up just kind of basically doing stuff again, but trying to miss the parts I'd seen. So I feel like I've conclusively seen the whole Future Man now.
Yeah, no kidding. I got excited this afternoon because I anticipated talking about it tonight. And I was like, okay, there's only 7 episodes in the season. I can binge the rest of this. And then as soon as I finished episode 7, it's like episode 8. And I was like, oh no, wait, yeah, there's 13 again. Episodes? So I didn't get through the whole thing. I got to like episode 10.
Hulu's interface is not good. I kind of came to enjoy it a little bit on this because I can't see more than one episode in advance. I'm like, oh, there's a 9th one. Shit. Oh my God, a 10th. So yeah, every episode that ended, I was like, oh my God, Hulu, how many are there? And then we got to the last one. Like,
relationship between Josh Futterman and his parents, played by Ed Begley Jr., and Glenn Headley
who passed away earlier this year.
Oh yeah,
that's why there's an episode. I think the series or several of the episodes are dedicated to her. But yeah, from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
So wonderful. They're so lovely and just like lovable and earnest in how they interact with him.
Yes.
When Ed Begley Jr. takes Wolf under his wing and teaches him to cook, like all of it.
Oh, God. Wolf learning to cook. No, the man in this, when he shows him the spoon, it's like, no, look at your reflection. That man is the master. Like, yeah, Ed Begley Jr. is perfect. This is maybe my favorite thing I've ever seen him do. He said, this is a Futterman house. Like, all of his loving, like, I instantly forgive you dad stuff. And then, have you seen Far Enough for Josh to meet him in college?
No. His dad?
Yeah.
No.
The actor they find to play young Ed Begley Jr. doesn't just, I mean, like, they don't just find a good actor to play young Ed Begley Jr.
They get Drew James.
And the kid then just plays Josh's dad in the future. Like, it's But at a party, like, it's amazing. Like, I just sit there and went, oh, that's perfect fucking casting. And he, of course, Josh just nearly Back to Futures himself. Yeah, it's great.
There's an episode where they have to break into the future home of James Cameron.
The James Cameron compound, the JCC?
Yeah.
Yes.
Pandora's, what would they call it? Pandora's Mailbox was the episode. I think it's like episode 7 or 8. And I was just dying at this, like, future robot who's just programmed to give the most ludicrous praise of everything James Cameron.
Oh, yes,
and
of underwater explorer, of incredibly tall human James Cameron.
Yeah. Of
honorary black belt James Cameron.
Undefeated Little League coach James Cameron.
Good at marriage.
Yeah, I love that one. That little jab. Adequate marriage,
and
James Cameron.
And Wolf's bonding with the house. And the house, I can't remember the full acronym, what it stands for, but she's Sigourney.
Yeah, Sigourney.
But yeah, his bonding with Sigourney, because he kills, like, it's just, it kills me that they...
like, there's all these background jokes in that, too. Like, if you're looking at the house and, like, how things are decorated, I'm like, oh, okay, that's a reference to this movie. The fact that Wolf learns Na'vi, like, immediately.
Oh, yeah. And even her explanation of, like, is there a word for that in Na'vi? Like, no, but there is a word for website, which makes total sense if you ask honorary linguist James Cameron. Supervillain James Cameron. At one point, I think she calls him supervillain James Cameron.
Oh, man.
Keith David, we got to talk about, like, when they brought him on in Community, even though those were not Community's good years, Keith David is just great. I love that guy. And he is spectacular here as Cornish, because, like, he's set up as the villain, but in almost no point do you really hate him?
It's true. Like, yeah.
Like, he's generally a pretty great guy, like, almost the whole time. And of all the people that I hate, I really, really just want to punch Haley Joel Osment in the face.
Intentionally, which is, like, so good.
Dude, who they just keep fucking with. Like, yeah. I can't believe how convolutedly fucked up this show is. I don't know if you've seen far enough for them to just, like, lose Wolf in the 80s for a while.
I just got to the part where he says, I quit. So, yeah, I assume he's gone to the,
because 80s. It's time travel. So, like, people can go off and have, like, an Odyssey lifespan and then show back up and like, no, you left 10 minutes ago, man. 7 years. Like, you know, it's time travel.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wolf goes off and has, like, a life in the 80s. And it's fucking awesome.
It was everything he hoped it could be, because he's in love with Corey Hart.
Like, I love the running gag that, like, everyone he meets in the present time loves him.
Yeah.
Almost everybody. Like, doors literally just open for him. Like, everybody loves him. Oh, man. Yeah.
It's funny watching Haley Joel Osment, like, his kind of return to TV, because he was like the It child star from
just been it there
the Sixth Sense to AI,
then he did the animatronic bear movie, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it just seemed like secondhand lines. Like, he was doing all these kind of movies that seemed like, okay, he's the king of, like, drama. And then he took, like, this long hiatus because he grew up looking a little bit awkward. Like, he still has baby face and, like, a big head. But then, like, I keep seeing him pop up in all these comedies. Like, he's on Silicon Valley. He's popping up here. He's done little cameos on It's Always Sunny. I'm like, okay, Haley Joel Osment's just, like, comfortably moved over into the comedy realm, and he does this really well, too. He plays, like, just a terrible person that you want to punch in the face.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just amazing that I'm surprised over the series, because he doesn't just get to play, like, one iteration of Stu. Because they keep screwing around with the time stream, like, they keep popping back up in the present to see if they fix stuff, and it's just different.
Yeah.
And so, like, you see him, like, you Blapple. See his fortunes go all over. Oh, my God. Yeah. Only old people call it a black apple.
It's just Blapple.
And then, I don't think they ever explained Bloogle.
Oh no! Was Bluegle in there?
He looked something up on Bluegle on his Blapple. And I mean, and it's just one of those like, what? I can't even. What did we do?
Yeah, the references they make to other movies, like there's so many. There's Terminator references, there's Back to the Future references aplenty, and like all of these different references, like some are subtle, some are blatant, like word for word, like obviously we're giving a nod to that movie.
Or someone was saying that the even the house floor plan at one of the times that he shows up in the future is the house from Back to the Future.
Oh yeah, and like, you know,
is the parent Marty's house.
Props to Kyle for even recognizing such a thing.
I'm terrible at that stuff, but yeah, props for recognizing that. If like I want to check that now. But yeah, it feels Stranger Things is a good totally different in tone.
Yeah.
But same thing. I mean, it's easy to say that obviously Stranger Things is pulling he's wearing references on its sleeves. But honestly, Stranger Things' references go 5 or 10 movies deeper than you realize they do. Like, there's a lot of stuff informing those movies.
Yeah.
So that it's not just like, oh, we made a Goonies ripoff or something, or oh, we made a Stand By Me rip or whatever. They're pulling from enough stuff that they're getting a spirit, and like it feels more like homage than ripoff. And I feel like that about Future Man. Like Future Man seems to get it in the same way. Like they want to do that goofy fun 80s throwback 8-bit nostalgia, you know, and Last Starfighter it, and they manage to by pulling and just kind of making the right level of fun of all of it.
Yeah,
because like, yeah, good.
But because of the comedic tone, though, they're able to do what Stranger Things can't really do, because they can do the more subtle references like through a whole plot line of like, you know, callbacks to all these other films and TV of the 80s, 90s, whatever sci-fi they want to pull from. But then they can also kind of turn to the audience and do like a complete wink and nod and like full on rip off something, because that works for the joke.
Yeah. Yeah. The Spuds McKenzie ripoff they have, oh, I geez. Love.
the eating the dog.
Oh God, yeah. Well, and some of the callbacks that are great, like Science Wand. In like the first or second episode, Wolf asks him like, because they don't realize he's a janitor. They think he's curing disease and like he's the savior of the human race because he works in his lab. And it's like, you know, with your Science Wand, and he's holding a mop stick. Like it's just a mop. And then way later, maybe in like one of the second to last episodes or something, Wolf kills a dude by breaking a mop in half and shoving it through two people's chests and yelling, "Science Wand!" And it's awesome. I love it when the Cameronium, is it Cameronium?
Cameronium, because it's named after James Cameron.
When their time travel fucks up and they end up. The shit that goes hilariously wrong with their time travel is just amazing.
There's so many swapped.
Yeah, that and they swap scars, they swap toes, they swap like, but yeah, with him going, no, we have to go back. We have to jump again right now. Like, we'll probably swap like a lung or a heart next. I don't care.
like when they're jumping and he's trying to reach over to his crush to try and like somehow magic
cock
it back.
Pirate. Yes. Oh God. And then later. Later on, they all say goodbyes, but they don't do goodbyes in the future. That went the way of hygiene. Except that Wolf then goes and tells like a long, heartfelt goodbye to Ed Begley Jr.
Oh, yeah. This show was just – it's such a surprise that I didn't hear anything about it until all of a sudden it just like popped up. And then suddenly people are like, whoa, have you checked this out? And
I remember seeing stuff about it and going, that's a ripoff of Last Starfighter.
Yeah.
And well, and then I saw the first trailer for it, and they went ahead and mentioned it, and I was like, okay, all right, well, that gives me some hope. You guys are aware,
uh-huh. And then you don't realize how fully self-aware they are. They're really smart with how self-aware they are in this.
This is sci-fi at the level of Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah,
for me, like this is that's how this felt to me. It was like I can't I I have a hard time like looking away. Like every time I'd walk back into the room from doing something else, and it wouldn't just be most TV shows. You can leave the room and you come back in and you're like, okay, you were here and now you're here. So you guys probably got in a car and drove there and then got here. And I would walk out of the room and come back in and go, we're in 1987 now. The fuck is that? Why don't you have a scar anymore? What the shit did I? I was going a minute and a half.
Oh shit! That volleyball Top Gun like scene that like just went on forever.
And they're tracking skills so that later on, when Tiger's trying to find Wolf, and she comes upon the volleyball court, and she's seeing all of the dents from the ball in the sand, and going, a skull hit here, and here. Skull at the ground. So many skulls.
Like I wanted to play their volleyball scene side by side with Top Gun to see, did they actually just like shot for shot remake some of those? Because I think like some of those poses were like exactly what happened there.
I really wouldn't put it past them to have just pulled like a whole chunk of shot, like a montage of shots straight off Top Gun.
I'm pretty sure they did. Like it was so blatant.
I have now seen this show twice, and if it were on right now, like it would not piss me off. I would sit through some of it. Like I know I would catch something that would make me giggle again.
Oh man.
Every performance in it is just really, really on point. The writing's sharp. Like Seth Rogen is not always my favorite, comedian, writer. Like I'm not always sold on all his stuff. Sometimes it's just a dick joke too far.
Sure.
But I gotta say, more often than not, I am really, really fucking surprised every time I sit down for anything the guy makes.
He's pretty brilliant.
Watching Sausage Party and going, well, this is 10 times better than it has any reason to be. And yeah, this Future Man impressed me so much more. This still doesn't make Preacher better, but holy crap, is Future Man good? Please, everybody, give it a shot. I'm not hearing anything about it this past week. It's just all I feel like it got overshadowed a little bit.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad that you know we're not talking about Punisher, so I can just straight up call this episode Future Man and like just have an episode dedicated to this, because I can't even think of the last show. It might have even been Stranger Things, where we were so giddy about a show that we were just like fawning over it and drooling out.
Yeah, I have to say I was a little I hadn't watched Punisher, and so I wasn't gonna, you know, be too mad that I wasn't on this week's episode originally as planned. But I was disappointed because I was like, oh man, they're talking about Future Man. I have things to say. That show's fucking great.
Yeah.
I love PETA now, man. Josh Hutcherson is great. By the end of this show, I really warmed to that actor. Like, he's got heart. He's funny.
Oh, yeah.
I am really impressed. Like, I want to see him in more stuff.
I remember a while back he auditioned to be Spider-Man. And I was like, I'll see you as Spider-Man. But man, you're lovable. So if you wanted to be Spider-Man, I probably would be okay with it.
Hell yeah, they'll reboot it in a year.
Yeah, he'll be back. Well, listeners, that's about as glowing a review I think you can get of a show. So full recommendation of at least two of the TV dudes that you need to go check out Future Man, binge through it, and let us know what you think. Are we way off base, or are you guys right there with us that this is such a fantastic, fun show?
Hey, if you really fucking hate it, you're already on Hulu, and there's three episodes of Runaways up, so, you know.
Is that one I need to be watching?
Yeah, that may take the number two slot behind Legion.
Oh, shit.
It's better than Gifted.
Well, you've given me something to do over Thanksgiving, so I'm going to go check that out. Les, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Oh, Spike Lee's She's Gotta Have It is about to be a series on Netflix, and that drops over Thanksgiving.
Oh.
I don't know if anybody ever watched that movie back in I would be high school for me. But anyway, Netflix is doing a series of that. I don't know. The trailer for it looks pretty crazy.
Interesting. Okay. I got to go check that out, too. Lot to watch. Hey, listeners, I hope you guys all have a great Thanksgiving weekend. Eat a lot of food, hug your loved ones, and be thankful that we live in an era of shows like Future Man. We'll be back next week, probably all of us in a studio, so the audio quality will be a little bit better. But Les, thanks for dropping in last minute, and I really appreciate it. And until next week,
TV Dudes out.
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast and a member of the Permanent Record Podcast Network. We are exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, please go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and Twitter @TV Dudes and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com and permanentrcrd.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.